She fought the physicians. The Bible here shows you the difference between seeking deliverance from the physicians and seeking it from Jesus. The Bible clearly makes a difference here. In the scriptures in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, it tells you a difference. Because King Asa was diseased in his feet, the Bible says, and he sought unto the physicians and not unto the Lord. And he slept with his fathers, the scripture says. The scripture makes a difference over there between seeking the salvation that normally comes from the world and the salvation that comes from God. Do you know, by the way, did you know that those Jews got healing from God for many, many years? In fact, when they started getting drawn away from that, I mean, I studied the history of this thing. They believed God. They got healing from God. When Solomon brought in all of his pagan wives is when they brought the physicians into Israel. Up until that time, you know what? They got their healing from God. And when they went to Babylon, they started falling into many of the things of the world that wasn't scriptural, you know? But, hey, this is what the Bible calls. I mean,
they brought it right with them.
Huh?
They brought it right with them through Rome.
Yeah.
And from Rome to present day.
Yes.
Right through.
Yeah. And the word in the scripture, by the way, for healing by the use of medicine is the word pharmakia, just what we use today. Pharmakia is the word for sorcery. Or witchcraft, depending on which Bible you got. Sorcery or witchcraft. Yeah. Jesus has a better way. It's free. It won't cost you anything. Believe me, you'll get out so much. You'll have to. If you live a life of a carnal Christian, by the end of your life, you will spend a lot of money on Egypt. You know? But I'll tell you what, God will get you out of that. God will give you a free gift. Don't say, I've got it. Don't get your mind in this gear. I've got to do this. No. It is a privilege. God gives you a privilege. It's been given to you. You don't have to earn it. He's given it to you. It's free. This is his sozo. This is a part of his deliverance. You know, one time, years ago, way back at the beginning of Mary's and mine Christian walk, we were riding motorcycles up in Mississippi, and I guess I didn't train her very good on her motorcycle because she'd only rode it a short time, but and this was real hilly area. Just hills, you know. Real. And we were on two dirt bikes. And this was new territory to us, so it was kind of crazy what we did, you know. But we came over this hill. She was on one bike and I was on another. We came over this hill and she turned one way and I turned another way. Well, her side, it was just almost a cliff, you know. It just went just like that, you know. And I heard her screaming all the way to the bottom of that hill, "Mama!" You know? And she was mashing the foot peg as hard as she could, but she never mashed on the brake. That's what I think, you know. I never saw the wheels skid or anything. I mean, she was flying when she hit the bottom of that hill, you know, just flying. And I saw her painfully. It was painful to me. I saw her bounce off a few trees, you know. And I went down in there and scraped her off those trees and I put her on the back of my bike, and I took her out of there and got her to a hospital. And this was way back at the beginning of our walk, and they were giving her some medicine to try to clear up an infection, so they were talking about operating on her kidneys. We went to this church. A friend of ours told us about the promises in the scriptures, you know, about healing, and we went to this church that believed in healing, and they prayed over her. She went down to the front of the church, and they prayed over her. Nothing happened. Nothing physical happened. And we went home, and it was probably a week or two later when she was meditating and thinking on it, and the Lord spoke to her. And you know what he said? He said, "If you believe that I have healed you, why are you taking all that medicine?" Because that's what the Bible says, okay? Let's just say what the Bible says. Does it say he has healed you or what? That's what it says, okay? And you know what? And when she ran in the bathroom and started pouring her medicine down the commode, because of that voice of the Lord, she was healed instantly. Not only was she healed of the kidney problem from hitting a tree, but she was healed from a natural kidney deficiency that she'd had since a little girl. She was healed of that. Always having infections. That was gone too. God did a miracle. He did it free. They were going to charge us an awful lot to do that. But he did it free. You know what he said? Listen to what he said now. He's going to ask you the same thing one day. He says, if you believe that I have healed you. See, God expects us to believe not because of what we see or feel. He expects us to believe because of what the Scripture says. No other grounds. Peter stepped out of the boat because of what Jesus said. Bid me to come unto you, Lord. And when he said come, that's all Peter needed to step on was the Word of God, you see. He stepped out on that Word and the water held him up. Yeah. This is us. If you're walking by sight, you'll never be able to walk where we're talking about walking. Because you're calling the things that are as though they are, instead of calling things that be not as though they were. Listen, God chose the things that are not to bring to nothing the things that are. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28. Think about it again now. God chose the things that are not to bring to nothing the things that are. How does he do that? What are the things that are not? You know what the things that are not? The promise. By his stripes you were healed. Well, you look at yourself and say, well, I don't see myself healed. I still feel sick. I still look sick. See, the things that are not is these promises that are not manifested yet. Now, how do you translate that into this present physical time? It's very simple. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 4, calling the things that be not as though they were. See? Listen, if God chose, listen, watch real careful now. If God chose the things that are not to bring to nothing the things that are, then he did not choose the things that are to bring to nothing the things that are. Did you get that? No? You didn't get that. Listen to it again. He chose the things that are not to do away with the things that are. What's the things that are? The curse. What are the things that are not? The promise. God, listen, don't say God chose this method or that method when you're talking about the things that are. He didn't choose that method. The Bible says he didn't choose that method. He chose the things that are not to bring to nothing the things that are. That's the promise. And you don't see the promise. So when you say, well, now God chooses
doctors
or lawyers or bankers or going in debt or just all these, if you say that God uses or chooses the things that are to bring them, you're contrary to the Scriptures. Because even the man of God uses faith in the Scriptures to bring to pass everything. You understand what I'm saying? Think about it now. The world will tell you, because it's very convenient, very comfortable for them, they'll tell you, well, now God uses this method. Now God uses... No, he don't now do anything. That's not scriptural. He uses the things that are not. He still uses the things that are not. Jesus doesn't have to heal you. He already healed you. You want me to prove it to you? Find one place in the Scripture. Just find one place in the Scriptures where anybody who ministered healing to anybody else stopped and prayed and asked God to heal somebody. Find it. They didn't do it. You know why they didn't do it? Because it was already an accomplished fact. You know what they did? Be healed in the name of Jesus. They laid hands on them. They commanded them to be healed. They commanded healing. They had the authority of God. As the Father sent me, so send I you, he said. So what do? We do the same thing Jesus did. We command him in the name of Jesus. And the reason we can do that is because there shouldn't be any question in our mind that it's already an accomplished fact. How come none of the disciples in the book of Acts ever stopped and prayed, wait a minute, before I pray, Lord, will you heal this person? Now, God gave us conditions now. He said, for instance, here's a condition now. It's the children's bread. Now, it's the children's bread, that's us. Now, he called deliverance from demons and healing the children's bread. Matthew chapter 15, the children's bread. It's ours. Is God ever going to deny his children their bread? No. May they go hungry? They might go hungry, but it won't be because he's denying them their bread.
Yeah, they wouldn't, though.
No.
And that lady who was not saved yet, one of the children, she said, well, even a dog eats the promise.
Uh-huh. She exercised faith. She proved herself to be a believer.
Right? God had mercy.
Uh-huh. And you know something? I'm not saying that God can't go can't do more than what it says in the Scripture. He won't do less.
No.
But I'm not saying he can't do more. Paul, when he was shipwrecked on the island of Miletus, it didn't say anybody there believed him, but he prayed for the sick and God healed him.
Yeah.
He prayed for a bunch of pagans. And if you ask it, now I'm going to say this now. I'm going to say this. You have to get God's permission to do that. Because that's Jesus, for instance, Jesus said it's not right to cast the children's bread to the dogs. You have to get God's permission to do that. He might give it to you. He might do it as a witness. He may do it as an evangelistic tool. He may do it for those reasons. He might. But he don't have to because you can't hold him to any scripture for that.
No.
Because the Bible says it's the children's bread.
Deliverance. What about the mercy ships, the mercy plane? It has doctors and nurses specialized in a lot of the surgeries they do for cleft, teeth, cleft mouth. And
well, is it using the things that are or using the things that are not? Am I going to condemn them? No, I'm not. I'm not going to condemn them.
No.
But let's just get our eyes just on Jesus and look at his perfect way and his perfect will. Did you ever see Jesus doing that? No. Did you ever see any of his disciples doing that? No. Was Luke a physician? Yeah. Did you ever see him practicing it? No. Not after he came to Christ. You don't see him practicing it. So we don't have an example. We don't have a foundation to do it that way. Can they? I'm not condemning them. I'm not going to come against them. I'm just trying to get back to the scriptures. I'm just trying to get back to God's method, God's way. Listen, you can make a mistake trusting in man because he can sure fail you. It can be dangerous to trust in man. Because he can sure fail. But I'm going to tell you what, it's never dangerous to trust in God. He never fails. He's never failed to heal me in over 20 years. Never failed. And I've gotten some places where I needed healing. I've had broken bones, and he's healed them. And I've had cancer, and he's healed them. He's never failed me. It didn't matter if it was a cold or a hangnail. It didn't make any difference. It don't make any difference. You see, it doesn't matter how big it is. It didn't matter to Jesus how big it was. He just knew that he had the authority of the Father to come against the works of the devil and destroy them. And you know what? That's the same authority he gave us.
Here's some questions. What about, though, when somebody, when we know they're healed, but the manifestations remain? In other words, you know, we'll say you've got a rash. You know you're healed, but the rash persists for days and weeks and months.
Uh-huh.
So how long do you go until you realize when is God really going to take away the manifestation?
Well, you know, what I would examine is am I, first of all, have you confessed your sins? Is there anything in the way? Let me say this before you go any further. If there's something in the way, you'll know it. You don't have to do a lot of introspection and all that. You don't have to examine your life. And all. If there's something in your way, you're going to know it. You're going to know it already. I mean, it's something that's going to be right there, okay? Get that out of the way first. When you get that out of the way, our job is to believe in what we do not see. That's what faith is. God's job is to manifest it. He will manifest it. He will not fail. If we believe and we walk the walk of faith, he will manifest it. I'm not going to say he's going to do it right away because there would be no such thing as a trial of your faith if he did it right away. We don't take care of God's job. Our job is the faith. We give him our part of the covenant. Our part of the covenant. Listen, the other part is manifested at the cross. It will be manifested in you. Exercise the faith. Let him take care of it. He will.
Yeah.
He will never fail.
And it won't be an overnight deal either. Sometimes you're going to have to walk it out in faith.
Don't.
I've been walking mine for 4 years. That's what I'm saying.
So everybody may be a different time frame.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But listen, the Bible teaches us in James, and I'm going to come back to the sozo, okay, but let's go to James just because of what you said there. I'd like to point this out. In James chapter 1, see, some people think because it's not manifested right away, God didn't hear. And that's just not true. That is totally false. There's been many things I've had to walk out for a long time before I saw the answer.
Because I get doubt and unbelief, and then I got to crawl back to the Lord and start agreeing back with the Word. Like Mary's dream says, agree with the Word. You know, call every man a liar and that God be true.
Right.
And see, I get unbelief in me because I hurt so bad. But yet when I come to the Lord, He eases my pain.
Now,
I have to walk up
again. Is this what you're talking about? You were totally healed of this.
Yes.
About 5 years ago.
No, this came on me 4 years ago.
Okay.
This is when I got real bad sick.
Okay. Well, listen, it's not yours.
I know that. I know it, but yet I don't know it.
Well, this is why we're studying Scripture.
Yes.
We need to be convinced.
Yes.
We need to be convinced
yes.
that Jesus is the same.
And I have to
okay.
keep being consistent of saying, yes, I am healed. I am healed. By His
right.
stripes, I was healed.
Even if the symptoms persist.
Even though I'm in misery.
Of course. It says, James chapter 1, verse 2, count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into manifold trials or temptations. It's the same word, okay? Knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. Now listen, if your faith has to be proven, then it's not going to be manifest right away. And if it takes patience, it's something that's not going to be manifest right away. I've received some things right away, immediately.
Yeah.
Immediate manifestations. Other things, the more I walked it out, the more faith I've got. Have you ever had that? It happened to Abraham. The Bible talks about the faith of Abraham. But let me tell you, he didn't start out that way believing for his son, did he? I tell you what, he laughed too, didn't he?
Yeah.
He sure did. Not only Sarah laughed, he laughed.
But they had
and they had their Ishmael too, didn't they? You see, he had his Ishmael because he wasn't walking in faith. But I'm going to tell you what, he didn't stay there. His faith, the Bible says he waxed strong through faith, which means he became strong in faith. He didn't start out that way. There's some things that the Lord worked patience in me in believing God for. I've never seen God fail.
I've thought about this a lot of times myself. Of course, we're talking here to where I'm really sensing that we're wanting to turn our eyes on Jesus and kind of pull back from this organized religion that seems to be so engulfed with traditions of men and whatnot. And everybody knows, like, when he's on and there's manifestations, let's say, and there's healings. But what I have seen is, I've read some of the statistics on the healings that have taken place, and they say that on those that were documented, where they went back and checked them out, they had bona fide healings, but 80% came back on them again where they were not
mm-hmm.
healed. Okay?
That's true.
Yes.
And I have my feelings, you know, myself in my mind, what I think could, you know, of course, work. Only God knows.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just curious what your thoughts are might be on that, too.
I have a testimony about that. Remember the motorcycle wreck you were talking about? I was healed from that. But, see, I had some surgery, but there was some problems and some complications later, and they wanted to schedule another surgery. And it was during from the first surgery to the second is when he really came to the Lord and saw healing and
mm-hmm.
God prayed for and
mm-hmm.
and what the doctor was doing, because our insurance didn't cover the next surgery for a certain time period. So what he was doing was had me on medication and pain killers and antibiotics and all of this stuff to wait to the next to the date to where we could do the next surgery. So and that's when we came to the Lord, and I saw this and the medicine away. And after that, I forgot about it. And there was a day I was going to take my little girl to go get some things for school. She was starting school, and I planned to go shopping. And I got up that morning, and there was symptoms. I said, oh, no, you know. So I just started rebuking and praying, and I just prayed under my breath all that day and rebuked and said, I don't accept it. I was healed at Calvary. I don't accept it. Now, I'm not taking this back home. And I didn't realize it because I wrote a couple of checks. And when I came back home, I went to check the book and the calendar was right there and to record the check. And the date on the calendar was when I was supposed to go in for another pre-op examination because he was going to schedule the second surgery. And that was the day the symptoms came back, that one day only, and then after that they were gone. It's like the devil had his last chance to get
mm-hmm.
me.
Try to convince you to walk by what you saw and felt.
I see that as being
a
part of a difference, as perhaps, where, see, What would you say? I mean, as far as like that would explain what you're saying about right there. I'm still curious that like you have this network of organized religion, okay, that and there's feelings that are coming out of that, okay. And I'm curious to hear what you would have.
Well, I don't think it has that part has anything to do with organized religion. But I think the problem is that God's people don't walk by faith themselves. The gift of healing, gifts I've had gifts of faith before. But you know what? What I'm talking to you here about is not a gift of faith. You know what a gift of faith is? It's when your whole consciousness, you are convinced. You're not wrestling with your flesh anymore. It's a gift that overwhelms your flesh.
Yeah.
But listen, that won't always work for you. This, what I'm talking about, will always work. 90% of the people go in there, they come out the same way they went in.
Yes.
Because they were looking for the gift. Okay? But listen, the Lord is no respecter of persons. If we exercise faith, God will meet us by meeting our need. The problem is with expecting healing only through the gift is you can't count on it because you never know when the gift's going to be manifest and when it is. But listen, faith always works. If you exercise faith, I've prayed over people that way, foreseeing instantaneous miracles. And they'd walk away from there, and the devil would convince them of what they saw and what they felt, and they'd fall right back in. You know why? Because God expects us to walk by faith. You know what? You can see a baby Christian go into a church, and people will pray over him and see an instantaneous miracle. But how many of you have ever seen people that have been in the Lord for 40 or 50 years go down there to the altar, and go down there to the altar, and go down there to get prayed for? You know what? There comes a time when God expects you to exercise your faith.
That's right.
Baby, you think about a baby in a crib now. That everything is spoon-fed. I mean, you just give it to him. You know, you're not expecting anything from him. You just give it to him. Baby Christians get that. But listen, if you start growing and you start spending some time in the Lord and you go on in the Lord and you don't abide in the things that are written and you don't ever exercise your faith, you can't stay up, but you can't be a baby with a beard. I remember this brother Bolvar, he's come in. He talks about he had a vision of babies with beards. You know, they were old in the Lord, but they hadn't grown any. God expects you to use your faith. And if you don't use it, you're going to get in trouble. He'll push you out in that wilderness, and your salvation is going to come from heaven, or you'll die in the wilderness. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people who are dead in the wilderness because they went out into the wilderness and they wouldn't trust in the salvation that comes from God. They kept wanting to run back to Egypt. Well, you can't always trust Egypt's salvation, folks. It's not always there. I'll give you an example. There's always a curse in trusting in the arm of the flesh. I'll tell you two good examples that really came home to me. My daddy smoked for 50 years, 60 years, I don't know. Had a lung taken out. And they started giving him some cortisone to try to get more oxygen into the lung he had left. Well, how many of you know what cortisone does to you?
Yeah.
It
makes you fat. Why does it do that? It destroys your muscles.
Right.
Your muscles just turn to mush, you know? Well, you know, the funny thing is, when they did this, they gave him an examination. He went to a doctor he really respected. And he really respected this doctor. This doctor said, Mr. Eels, he said, there's one thing you'll never die of. He said, you've got the heart of a much younger man. He said, you'll never die of a heart attack. You know what happened? He started taking that stuff, and a month later, he had a massive heart attack. It's not a good trade-off sometimes, folks. Listen, it wasn't for my mama. My mama was taking a medicine for many years that she thought was good for some kind of a psychiatric thing. And one day she got to looking in this Reader's Digest side effects of medicine. And the two side effects of this medicine was breast cancer and glaucoma. And she had them both. Is that a good trade-off? Let me say something. Trusting in the arm of the flesh is cursed. The Bible says you're cursed. Don't think you can get out of it. Don't think you can keep running back to Egypt. God will push you out of that wilderness. Listen, your salvation must come from heaven. Water comes out of a rock in the wilderness. That's where it don't normally come from, you know. Manna came out of the sky in the wilderness. It didn't come out there in boxcars from Egypt, you know. Well, there's a price to be paid if you get it that way, a big price.
Well, again, do we know that all these people that are getting healed do these?
Oh, I believe that
they had Fatima, you know, all those places that, you know, the image of Mary that was found stands contrary to Scripture.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and I know a friend of mine out at the plant. He went to Fatima and he was healed of cancer. And, listen, I have to admit to you, I don't know where the line is. I do know this, that God is weak to the weak. Let me tell you something. I don't care how you're convinced. If you believe that if I anoint you with oil, you'll be healed, then you'll be healed. You know what Jesus said? Be it unto you according to your faith. According to your faith. Listen, some people believe just the laying on of hands. Some people believe you have to have the oil. Some people believe, I don't care what you believe. Whatever will help your faith, do it. Accept it, okay? Let me give you an example. There's a sister that lived next door to me over in Louisiana. She asked God to fill some of her teeth. She wanted God to put a filling in her teeth. You know what? God did that. He put a filling in her teeth. Now, I had a real bad cavity over the top of two of my molars. I mean, real bad. I could shove my fingernail up in there on top of it. It was real bad. I could feel it with my tongue, you know. And I rebuked that thing and commanded it to be healed in the name of Jesus. You know what God did? He healed those two molars. He didn't put a filling in there. He healed them. He put the tooth enamel back in there. And you know what it is? It's be it unto you according to your faith. God, did you know that God is weak to the weak? Many times He'll meet you where you are. If you've got faith and He prays for you, and you'll get healed. If you've got faith, by all means, go. Because if that helps your faith, go do it, you know. But if you've got faith, if I just stay home and confess it, then do that. Be it unto you according to your faith. What I'm trying to tell you here is something that is consistent. And I believe he has gifts of healing. You know, I think he's doing some things that aren't right, okay, but I believe he's got some gifts of healing. But what I'm telling you always works. It always works because the Word of God says it always works, not because of my experience.
Right.
Okay? Baby Christians can go in there and get healing, but when they start growing a little bit, it's going to take two to agree. They're going to have to go down there with faith and have somebody to pray the prayer of faith over them to get it. Because God, you see, to whom much is given, much is expected, you know? The more you walk on with God, the more He expects you not as a child to get up and keep falling, but to get up and stay standing, you know? And to walk out your faith. So that's why I believe a lot of people, because first of all, they're not being taught faith. The people of God are not being taught faith. They're not being taught that you can trust God. You see, if you think that God's a maybe God, maybe He will, maybe He won't, you never know whether He will or whether He won't, then you'll never exercise faith. You have to be convinced it's God's will to heal you before you can get healed. Because the only way you can exercise faith is to believe you have received. It works consistently, folks. There's one thing that can get in the way, willful rebellion. I know it can get in the way. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 10:26 that if we sin willfully, after that we've received a knowledge of the truth, there remains no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain, fearful expectation of judgment. You get that? So, a person who walks in willful rebellion is not walking under the blood. They are walking where they're going to get a licking. There isn't anything you can do for that person till they repent. In fact, I believe the Bible says don't pray for them for life. You know, James chapter 5, don't pray for them for life. You know, you have to pray people repent. Sometimes people got to repent. They have to repent or they're not going to get what they need from God.
But David, what about if you came upon an accident, say, and somebody was there to pray for them, and they may be an atheist?
That happened to me.
Yeah. Are you saying then that God can still heal? I mean, He can still heal them, or do you choose not to? Are you saying that?
What there is such a thing. There is such a thing as being led by the Spirit. This happened to me one time. I was in a wreck on a bridge, and it was a four-car pileup. And the man in front of me was jammed into the steering wheel, and it went up in his chest, and he was badly hurt. And I got up in his in his car and got him out, laid him on the concrete down there, and he was just piling up lung blood, just piles of it on the ground. And I had no idea. The guy couldn't talk. He wasn't even conscious. But just blood was just piling up out of his head. Bright red blood out of his lungs was piling up down there. And in fact, there was a pile that deep, exactly that deep. It went all the way up to his face. I laid his head on the curb, and it was just pouring out of him. And I knelt down there, and I prayed over him, and God healed him.
But will that happen in every case?
If you're led by the Spirit of God, it will.
Oh,
okay. You see, when you're getting outside of what you know is your foundation in the Word, like, for instance, the children's bread. If you get outside something that you know is your foundation in the Word, you've got to be led by the Spirit. I mean, listen, you can depend on the Word of God. I know that there was this doctrine going around years ago that you had to get a rhema from God before you could move. You know, God had to talk to you out of heaven and say, hey, you're healed, before you could believe that verse. That's hogwash. Don't ever believe that. You don't have to do anything. You can believe that every time you believe one of those verses, it's a rhema to you. Every time. The problem is, are you humble to what that says? If you're humble to what that says, that's a word for you.
So yeah. Are you saying, though, David, that unless the Holy Spirit speaks to you to tell you to go pray to that person, that it's in vain? Is that what you mean? I mean, in other words, we can't do it just because of the faith that we have, right?
No, you cannot go beyond the principles of the Word of God with your faith. You'll fail. People try it all the time, and they fail.
Because that happened to me one time. I went to a Christmas party, and this young girl, my granddaughter's age, there's children in this Christmas party. She was so sick on that stage, and I went over myself and prayed for this child. Really. And, you know, her cold came on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back down to Florida, and I was deadly sick. I was sick as a horse. And I was at the computer shop one day, and I was so sick. And I couldn't figure out what happened to me. And I went into the bathroom, and I said, Lord, what happened to me? Why am I sick? And he brought to mind, I prayed for this girl when I should not have prayed for her.
Okay, so that was the Holy Spirit leading you to do it.
And it came on me.
I'll say this now. Think about this now. I believe this. I believe that God so much wants to teach you the ways of faith.
Mm-hmm.
That he may permit you to lay hands on somebody and exercise your faith, and he might heal them. They may not keep it because they're not walking under the blood. But he may let you do it in order to exercise your faith, to show you that faith works, to show them that faith works, to be a witness. He may do it for many reasons, but they probably won't be able to keep it. And nobody can. Nobody will keep. Listen, the Bible says the devil comes immediately to steal the seed which has been sown in their heart. You know what? You get a healing from God, he's going to come and try to steal that.
Yeah, he does.
He's going to come and try to convince you by feelings, by symptoms. He's a master of symptoms, you see. He manipulates the physical realm, okay? That's why God wants you to walk by faith. He can't manipulate what the Word of God says other than deceive you, you see. But he manipulates the physical realm. He can make you feel things.
Yeah.
And that feeling can go away immediately when you stand firm on the Word of God. He manipulates that realm. He tries to get you to walk by sight and not by faith. That's the reason we have to have our senses exercised to know. I'm talking about our spiritual senses exercised to know what's right and wrong. We've got to have spiritual eyes. We've got to have spiritual ears. We've got to hear what the Word says and ignore everything else. We've got to see what the Word says and ignore everything else. Jesus did that. Jesus would have looked like a fool, and he knew it, if he'd have said some of those things and God didn't answer. But you know what? God's not going to let that happen. God never lets that happen. I'm saying that sometimes you may not be in the perfect will of God, but God is so interested in teaching you faith and teaching you that it's working and teaching that you can trust in him, that he will manifest that healing. It might be lost later, but he'll manifest it. And it's up to us to keep what God's given us, because the devil is going to come and try to steal it. He's going to do that. Well, I tell you what, when I see something like that, I'm in prayer. I mean, it may not come out of my mouth, but I am thinking and I am praying. And I'm saying, Lord, do you want me to do something? Will you permit me to do something? Maybe you don't know if this person is a Christian. Maybe you don't know if they have a right to God's blessings. Maybe you don't know if they have a right to the covenant. You know, pray, ask God. You know, I mean, God can show you what you don't see and what you don't know. You know, because the principles of God are to lead us to know in this conscious realm. But sometimes the Lord sees what we don't see, and He always sees what we don't see, and He can lead us to do something that we would think would be contrary. You know, I love the favorite. What I love to do is pray for baby Christians. I love to pray for baby Christians because I tell you what, you see the best results. Christians in this country are so worldly, so running after the world. They're so uninterested in growing in the things of God that many times it's hard to pray for them because they're so double-minded. You know, there was this girl down here in a mission. I tell you, this just really stuck to me. It's a wonderful thing. I mean, she had come to the Lord. She'd just gotten saved. Had come to this mission, got saved, and we were ministering to her, me and another minister, and we prayed for her to receive the Holy Spirit, and boy, I tell you, she just got filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, she was a real quiet little girl, but she was just jumping around and praising God and just, it was wonderful, you know. And what happened to this girl was she had been raped. And she had beat herself in the tummy to kill the baby. And she had gone down to the public health thing, and they checked her out, you know, with the sonogram and with the heartbeat monitor and all that. They told her the baby's dead. You need to have a DNC. Well, she was supposed to go back and do that, but meanwhile she came to this mission and got saved. And when she got saved, we prayed for her to receive the Holy Spirit. She got the Holy Spirit. And I felt to ask her, I asked her, is there anybody that you have not forgiven? And she said, yes. She says, I have never forgiven this doctor that I felt aborted one of my children purposely with drugs. And I said, wow. I says, you just did the same thing. You know, you're being judged for what you're judging him for something, but you just did the same thing. You just killed your baby. And I said, don't you see? You've got to forgive that man, you know. So she did. She prayed the prayer and asked God to forgive him. And she prayed for his soul and asked God to save him. And then I just felt, there wasn't any booming sensation or anything, but I just felt, I told her, I says, well, I don't see any reason God can't resurrect your baby right now, you know, because you're a new creature. She was a born-again Christian that day, filled with the Holy Spirit, not guilty of the thing that the person the day before was guilty, you know. So I called Mary over there, and look, when I said this, the room cleared out. Everybody left the room. They were gone. I mean, the preacher left. Everybody else had just gone out the door, you know. So Mary came over, laid hands on her tummy, and we commanded the spirit of life to come back in this baby. Then I gave her a few little exhortations like, now this is how faith works. When you pray, you believe you've received, and you shall have it. I told her that. And I gave her a few little words, and I walked out into the hall, and the preacher caught me in the hall, and he grabbed me by the arm and drugged me over into the next room and closed the door, and they were all in there. And he said, listen, God's not going to do that for that girl. She killed that baby. And I said, well, I says, please don't try to destroy my faith. I believe you'll do it. And that's what I told him. I forget what I said, but I said, I really don't believe you understand grace. This is a new creation. She's not guilty. I says, you don't understand grace. And I said, besides, that's where my faith is. Don't destroy my faith. And I opened the door and left them all in the room. So this girl called me the next day, called me over here, and she said, nobody over here will take me down to the health unit. I said, well, I'll come take you down there. And I went and picked her up, and while we were going, I preached faith all the way down there. I said, now listen, you remember what the Word of God says. It says, when you pray, believe you have received, you know, and you shall have it. Baby Christian, simple-minded girl too, simple-minded baby Christian. full of the Holy Ghost. And she said, okay. She went in there, and she said, I want y'all to check me again. Down to the public health. And they did. They put the heartbeat monitor on her, and they put her on the sonogram, and there was nothing. It was dead, you know. And the technician said, well, ma'am, you're going to have a DNC. This is over 3 days. And I said, he said, you're going to be blood poisoned. You have to get a DNC. And you know what she said? She says, I don't accept that. I just don't accept that. And when she said that, that monitor, the heartbeat monitor kicked on. The baby's heart started pumping. The baby was moving all around. And that unbelieving technician, he looked at that and he said, that's a miracle. He told her, he said, that's a miracle. And her baby was born, and it was the baby of her common law husband. It wasn't the one she thought it was when she was raped by this other man. See? But you know, here's a baby Christian. He says, I don't accept that. Why didn't she accept it? Because it wasn't what the Word of God said. It was not what the Word of God said. We don't have to accept the curse when the Word of God says differently. We'll get out of a lot just by not accepting the curse. You know what? Her faith is supposed to grow from that day on. I mean, it's supposed to keep growing. She's supposed to be maturing in her faith. A Christian that goes on and don't mature in their faith, they're not fighting the good fight of faith. They're not laying hold on life that is eternal. This is a continual warfare. You don't fight, you don't win. In fact, if you don't fight, you lose. We're here to bear fruit. We're here to bear the fruit of Jesus. We're here to walk the walk of Jesus. Even as He is, even so are we in this world. We were here to do the work of God. You know what? Let me just say this. It doesn't stop here. Listen, it doesn't stop with salvation of your spirit, nor salvation of your soul, nor salvation of your body. It doesn't stop until it goes through salvation of all of your circumstances. Listen to me. Sozo covers your circumstances. Anything around you that has to do with your life that's part of the curse, you were saved from that by Christ. Listen. Remember what the Scripture says. He became accursed for us. Go back over to Deuteronomy 28. Read the curse. You know what you get when you read the curse? You see that most of the curse is circumstances surrounding a person's life. I'll give you an example. Look in Matthew chapter 8. I'll just keep it a little bit longer, okay? And verse 23. Matthew 8 and verse 23. We are saved from circumstances. When you get into detrimental circumstances that are a part of the curse, you remember that you've been saved from that. And you can exercise your faith and you can change it. Did you know that? You can change it. And sometimes, let me say this, it may not look like anything that's all that important. You can your grass might have a blight on it, you know, it doesn't have to be that important. I found out, listen, God wants to do something just because you're exercising your faith.
He healed my cat.
Heals your cat. He heals animals. Let me say this. He heals animals quicker than he heals humans. You know why? That's right. Your faith counts. God heals animals. And I've seen him raise them from the dead. I saw a bunch of them raised from the dead. I've seen him heal their bones. You know, the only thing don't do what I did one day and call an unbelieving Christian over there to pray with you, because that's the last thing you want to do. I did it one day. There was this dog out on the road, and we'd healed many dogs. Dogs' bones and legs healed. God, we prayed over them. God had healed them. Resurrected a bunch of puppies from the dead. They were frozen solid, and God resurrected them. And it was this old dog. You could tell it was a Christian dog. You see a good spirit? You ever seen a good spirit in an animal?
Yeah.
This old dog had a broken back out in the road right in front of our house. And I went out there and carried that old dog and put him in the shed. And I saw my neighbor come up next door to me. And I said, hey, come on over here and help me pray for this man. Because he knew what I was doing. But you know what? When I said, hey, come on, the Lord said, don't do that. He said, don't do that, but he was already walking this way, you know. And when he got there, I just said, well, we need to pray for this animal that God will heal his back. You know, know what? I've seen God heal lots of animals. But it didn't always happen immediately. Let me tell you, the next day that guy went out there and shot that dog. And the Lord said, I told you, don't do that. Listen, when Jesus went in to pray for people, when Peter went in to pray for people, he brought people in the room and put people out of the room according to faith. He don't want to honor anybody's unbelief. He don't want people in that room that's agreeing with you that are unbelieving, because they're going to get in the way. I tell you, I have come to not like the term Christian. I like the terms that they use in the scriptures, believers. I like believers. They called it the way. You know, and I don't like this term. First of all, the pagans gave that term to the Christians. I don't like the term because it doesn't identify people. The thing that identifies people is, are you a believer? It's the whole thing that keeps you in the covenant. In fact, you're going to be broken off from the vine if you don't abide in faith, Romans says. In fact, the Jews were broken off because they fell into unbelief. And he says, if they don't stay in their unbelief, he can graft them back in. Listen, you're out or you're in according to faith. It don't have anything to do with a label that's called Christian. This is doing God a disservice. Listen, what identifies us as God's children is faith. If you lose your faith and start walking in the world, believe me, that's not going to save you. That's what the Lord taught me when I was a young Christian. I was going through the hospitals, and I would let the Lord guide me through any door. I'd walk down through those hospitals, and then let the Lord guide me through what door. I'd go through that door. You know what? I started out asking people, are you a Christian? They all said yes. And you know, that just did not work. And I had to start figuring out better ways to ask people, well, look, was there ever a time in your life when you just really turned your heart to God and you decided you wanted to please Him and you had a hunger for God? You know, I'd try to identify people that way, you know. Well, let me read this verse to you, okay? I don't want to drag you out too late. It says, Matthew 8:23, it says, and when he was entered into a boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, save, Lord. Same word, sozo, okay? We perish. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? In fact, in one of the other Gospels, he said, well, where is your faith? In other words, he was really expecting them to do something. Now, where is your faith? I mean, that was his rebuke. Where is your faith? In other words, why didn't you do something? He gave them authority to do this, you see. He says, then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm, and the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? This is a sozo that has to do with circumstances, you know, around your life. All the curse in Deuteronomy 28 that doesn't have to do with healing and your nature has to do with the circumstances around your life. Jesus bore that curse. He became accursed. You can't be much more accursed than what happened to him on the cross. That was a circumstance. You know, listen, in our circumstances, I know all of you can give testimony to this. In your circumstances, you have a right to come against the curse because of what Jesus did. We are delivered from the curse.
Dave, what is the chapter verse in that curse? I want to just look it up. I mean,
in Galatians, you mean? Galatians 3?
It's not like it's on Deuteronomy somewhere.
Oh, Deuteronomy 28. Okay. The whole chapter is about the curse.
Remember the curse in there that was a family curse.
Yep.
And then down the generation. But
children being in bondage, all kinds of curses.
Curse speaking of?
Yeah, all kinds of curses there. And every sickness, in fact, every sickness and disease is listed there because it says this. And if it's not listed here, that the Lord thy God shall put upon thee also. See that? It lists every sickness and disease is listed in Deuteronomy 28 because of that stipulation. Because it says if it's not listed here, God will put that on you too. So they're all listed there. Every sickness and disease. And circumstances. Anything detrimental to your life is a part of the curse. Listen, crucifixion, spiritually speaking, is not detrimental to your life. That is not a part of the curse. That's a part of the blessing. We're here to be crucified. So don't get mixed up. Don't mix up the curse with the crucifixion that we go through in life. We're here turn the other cheek, for instance. Because God's put people here to come against us. I mean, listen, you can get mixed up. I've done it. You can get mixed up with the curse and what God's doing through the wicked to put you to death. I mean, we're here to die. We have to take up our cross and follow Jesus. So some circumstances are there because of God. A lot of circumstances are there because of God. For instance, when Jesus was going to the cross, remember, he said, we have to take up our cross and follow him. When he was going to the cross, he made no attempt at deliverance from it. He turned the other cheek. He wouldn't stick up for himself. He knew he was there to go to the cross. He knew that these men were there to do the will of God and put him on the cross, you know. There are people around our lives. We can't consider them a part of the curse. God put them there to put us on the cross. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God. What they don't say is what Jesus said. Jesus said, if they slap you on the one cheek, turn the other. He said, resist not him that is evil. Jesus said that. Now, they try to make that as something that you got to obey in the millennium. Why would you need to obey it in the millennium? Now, that don't make any sense. No, he gave that to us because when you obey that, you're going to be crucified. You know, considering these circumstances, think about it. You know, think about it. God has delivered you in circumstances, sozo. But in circumstances, you're going to be saved by grace through faith. And of course, all this is to show you that my power is made perfect in weakness. You know, what God really wants from us is to be weak in ourselves. You know, dead men are weak, right? You know, they don't handle things themselves. They're just dead men. You know? And that's the way we have to reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin. Salvation isn't from self. It's from God. And it's by grace and it's through faith. And in Matthew 8 and 23, Scripture says, and when he was entered into a boat, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, save, Lord, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Well, no matter what the wind and the waves is in our life, I believe Jesus would say the same thing. You know, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Well, generally we're fearful because we get our eyes on the circumstances, right? You get your eyes on the circumstances and you become fearful instead of your eyes on the Savior, right? Well, they said, save, Lord. That's the word sozo there. It's the same word used in Ephesians 2 and 8. By grace are you saved through faith. One thing we do have to fear, and that is fear itself, because fear is not faith. And when you're in the midst of turmoil, when you're in the midst of circumstances that you need God's salvation in, only faith is going to bring it to you. I believe God wants to take us by the hand and show us some things. I had this opinion years ago when I was a baby Christian. I felt like I'm a disciple of Jesus. I am a disciple of Jesus. And I always felt that Jesus wanted to take me by the hand and guide me and show me how to walk in his kingdom. You ever have that feeling? Like the Lord wants to talk to you about circumstances and situations and teach you things. I've had him say things to me that made me realize that, you know, about circumstances. We're not to be moved by circumstances. If you remember in Galatians chapter 4, that the servant, as long as he's in bondage to the principles of the world, he's a child, right? Well, the child is a servant. Yeah. But that's not sons. You know, we are here to manifest God's sonship in us. And we're not to be in bondage to the principles of the world. Circumstances shouldn't be able to stop us from doing what we need to do for God. whenever circumstances get in our way that seem to be stopping us from doing what we feel is God's will, we have authority over them. In this case, they exercised authority over them. The disciples never would have thought to do that, but this is what Jesus was doing. He was taking them by hand, and he was teaching them. He brought them into this circumstances so that they would understand that they weren't to be ruled by the circumstances, nor any other kind of curse, but they were there to change the circumstances. Has God ever done that with you? Just taking you by the hand and showing you what to do in the circumstance, to change the circumstance so that you can keep on going and doing God's will. You understand what I'm saying? He put them in this little lesson. He did that with me one time when I was a baby Christian, that it stuck with me. God asked me a question. He says, why don't you do this? It's like, well, I could have done it, but I had to wait for him to tell me. Why don't you do this in this circumstance? You ever do that to you? He's done that to me quite a few times. It's like, okay, let me take you by the hand. Let me show you how to do this. Let me show you what to do, you know. And he said, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Like they naturally and normally wouldn't be fearful in a circumstance like this, you know. If we think naturally, of course, we're going to be fearful in a circumstance like that. When your eyes see things that are terrible, you know, you're going to be fearful in a circumstance like that. But Jesus acted as though you weren't supposed to be. Why are you fearful in this storm and with the boat filling up with water? Why are you fearful? Don't you know I've given you authority? Yeah. And in fact, in one of the other Gospels, he said, where is your faith? In the same situation. Where is your faith? Well, in other words, well, why didn't you do something? Yeah. And why would he ask that question? Where is your faith? Well, he was saying, well, why didn't you take care of it? Yeah. God takes us by the hand to show us these little lessons. He did Peter that way. Remember when Peter stepped out of the boat? What was that? What was the purpose in that? You think everything's got to have a need or a purpose or what was the purpose in that? It was just God did something only for the purpose of teaching Peter. That was the sole purpose in it. You know, the Lord, one time I was going to, I told some of y'all this testimony when Deborah was a little girl. And one time I was going to pick up Deborah, and we had put her in school one year, in a Christian school one year. We homeschooled her all the rest of the time. We put her in school one year. And I was going to pick her up, but God decided he was going to teach me a lesson. And you know, I got about two or three blocks from that school, and my car just shut down. It just died. And I tried to start it and tried to start it. And I ran the battery down trying to start it. Just right on down to nothing, you know. So I got out and started walking. And I tell you what, the sky had just turned totally black. I mean, you could tell that it was about to dump on me, you know. Just whoosh. You know, it was just dark, dark. Dark and black, you know. And so I started, when I was walking along, the Lord spoke to me. At that moment, it had just started to rain. And I knew I was going to be soaking wet before I made another 20 feet, you know. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, why don't you command that to stop? And I said, okay. I was sure enough God had spoken to me that I did it immediately. I mean, he said, why don't you command that to stop? Like, why don't you do it? You know, normally, in our thinking, in our religious thinking, we might ask God to do it. But really, that's not God's plan. He said, where is your faith? You know, he is here as the master. We are here as the disciple to learn to walk like him. Ask him to take you by the hand and show you what he wants done in order to put faith in your life and show you how to change circumstances. So I said, okay, I will. And I rebuked that rain. I command rain, stop in the name of Jesus. I waved my hand even, you know. You know. Stop in the name of Jesus. And boy, I tell you, it just stopped like you cut it off with a knife. Did not another drop fell on me. And I walked for a block or a block and a half, and I picked up my daughter. And we were walking back, and I was telling her what happened. And she was just all giddy and laughing, you know. And I said, well, I said, God can do that. He can take care of that car, can he? And she said, yeah. And we got back to the car. I said, well, when we were getting back to the car, I said, well, you know what? When we get to that car, we're going to lay hands on that car, and God's going to start that car, you know. And God taught me another lesson about weakness, you know, when I got to that car. When I got to that car and we got in and we laid our hands on that dashboard and we commanded that car to run in the name of Jesus, you know. And I turned the key. And, you know, you can run a battery all the way down, but if you stop a few minutes, that battery will partially build back up, you know. And it had. It built back up a little bit. And I turned the key, and it started turning over, kind of weakly, but it started turning over. And I just held the key on, and it went all the way down to nothing. All the way down to nothing until I was totally weak. The machine was totally weak. If a miracle came, it had to come from God. But I wouldn't let off the key. I ran it all the way down. And, you know, as soon as that thing went all the way down, it went down to whoop, 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 just like that. And then it started up like a shot. Just bang, just like that. I knew it was God, you know. I mean, you run the battery down on a vehicle, it don't start like that, you know. God showed me it wasn't the power of that vehicle, it was the power of faith that would change things. And the power of weakness. There's a power in weakness. Because God doesn't want to share His glory with this world. We've got the fun.